called Shaken and Disturbed. And so I was a little bit in the true crime world for many years, had gone to Crime Con and had focused on that. I've always been intellectually kind of tapped in. And then ID and Discovery Plus, they were coming out with this brand new podcast. I knew it was going to be sort of about these, you know, love instances going wrong, for example, betrayals, you know, just heartbroken stories, which I know that sounds a little twisted when I say that I like that. And I'm reading the room here to understand that this is probably a red flag for me to say, but I am interested in that. I think everyone kind of goes through a betrayal at some point in their life. And ID and Discovery Plus just kind of tapped into me, and we recorded great 10 great episodes I'm super proud of. And so that's kind of how I got into that space, first and foremost.
Okay, and without getting too much away, what could we expect to see on these episodes?
Well, I'll tell you, most of these cases you probably have never even heard of before. You know, we started off Betrayal, which probably the most well-known case, and even for me, who's this true crime aficionado, I didn't even understand all the details of the Chippendales murders. I think we all know the brand of Chippendales, but no one really knows the story, the dark story, the macabre story behind them. So that is definitely going to be kind of in that pop culture zeitgeist. We see some incestual relationships. We see a brother and sister kind of coming to terms where, you know, there's a lot of mental illness. There's a lot of abuse going on, and potentially there's murder within the family. There is another insane episode that I really don't want to give too much away, but essentially there is a married couple, and, you know, appeared to be shot dead in their own home. And the only real witness to this, and I hope you're paying attention, is a pet parrot, this gray African parrot that they owned. And it's not necessarily admissible in court, but it makes for one amazing episode of understanding that this parrot could essentially solve the crime.
That is incredible. That's something that you would only see in, like, one of those movies or something. It's amazing that it's actually happened in real life.
It's incredible. Not that it can ever be used in a court of law, because I'm not sure, you know, how much a parrot could be questioned, but they do repeat a lot of the sounds that they hear, and that plays a huge part in some of these, in one of the cases that I cover.
That's incredible. That one I'm really looking forward to hearing.
Oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
And what true crime case would you say stood out the most for you, whether it was on your show or off your show?
In general, in my life?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, I grew up, you know, in sort of the O.J. Simpson, JonBenet Ramsey, you know, 90s era of paying attention to television, when crime was really this sort of a TV sensation. It was almost these, like, pop culture moments for sure. One of the cases that really haunted me, I was actually talking about this the other day when I was a kid, was Andrea Yates. And I remember seeing that story because it seemed so horrible that a mother could kill her own children. Obviously, she fled insanity. But those are the cases that really got me into the true crime genre. There have been a number of cases over the years. What I really like is sort of the psychology behind a killer. I study a lot about Ed Kemper, and Ed Kemper, murderer, is in prison, but he sort of has changed that around and has actually helped the criminal justice system solving crimes, kind of getting behind the mind of the killer. If you've seen Mindhunter on Netflix, things like that. So the psychology of those types of serial killers, I've been fascinated by since as far back as I can remember.
Yeah, she must be the same age, because I grew up with the same stories. I remember, like, all the classes shutting down when they were about to read the Simpson verdict and everybody going nuts. It was crazy.
I mean, honestly, like, you know, I watched the Casey Anthony trial. Obviously, there's a bunch of trials going on right now. But that O.J. trial, I mean, that changed. That, like, turned court TV into its own thing. That was a whole different genre. That became the new real soap operas in a lot of ways.
It did, yeah. I was, like, in seventh grade at the time, now that you know how old I am.
Hey, you're not that old. Come on now. I wasn't too much younger than you, trust me.
Yeah, it was just amazing. It was like interrupt TV shows, and I'll never forget my dad, because we were home for a snow day or something, I don't remember, and he had Power Rangers on, and like all of a sudden they interrupted with O.J. Simpson thing, and he called the station saying, you know, this is inappropriate to do during a children's television show, and for some reason that just always stuck out for me. Yeah.
I'm actually shocked they would do that on a kids' network. Like, even now, you don't get breaking news. I could turn on Nickelodeon and not get breaking news.
It was like on Fox or something at the time. So.
Wow. Very interesting memory. It's interesting what we remember, right?
Yeah, and I was just like, I was telling him this not too long ago. I'll never forget when the O.J. Simpson trial was happening on Fox and it interrupted Power Rangers, and you could call them and complained about it.
Well, did it
Yeah.
work? Did they get it? I'm sure it didn't work at all.
Probably not. I don't remember if it worked or not. I just remembered a phone call, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. Well, good on your dad because he's smart. I do think smart cookie.
Yeah, very smart. And what case do you think gets the least amount of attention that's out there now that you think needs more attention?
Lot of cases are covered that deal with people of color and certainly low socioeconomic status, which I find actually happens to be a really big factor in these cases that get covered. I can't really say if they're not getting covered locally, but certainly a national coverage. You take the case like Gabby Petito, which was really a watershed moment in a lot of our crime coverage, for better or for worse. But that also sparked a whole other thing of like, well, who isn't being covered on this? And there's a reason we're covering Gabby is because she's a well-off white girl from Long Island. And that really sparked a lot of questions. So there are so many cases that I don't even know about in poor areas and with people of color that are just not getting the coverage that they deserve.
Absolutely. And if I could do anything in my job, it would be to bring more attention to these cases. And I know you're bringing attention, and I absolutely applaud you for that. That's amazing.
Thank you. Trying our best. There's unfortunately, one of the things that I say is kind of murder's recession proof. There's murder happening all the time. Not saying it's frequent or anything, but it doesn't really matter if we're in a recession or people are booming. There is lives being lost here, and those aren't getting the coverage that they deserve.
Absolutely. And how do you choose the cases that you cover? Because, like you said, there are so many and murder is recession proof. How do you choose these cases?
Well, I mean, truth of the matter is we're lucky in the sense, kind of this bittersweet thing to say, right? Because I don't want to say like we're lucky, we have so many cases to cover, because that's not what I mean at all. What I mean is that there's a lot of detail out there about a lot of different cases, especially the close-ended ones that we can kind of, with people who are alive, the victims' families, the victims' children, or even the killer's family. So those are the cases where we can have backup evidence, we can route our sources, we can make sure that we're holding those, proper interviews, are really the cases that I like to cover. I also like covering things that aren't going to get heard, that most people don't know about, including the 10 cases in Betrayal, which I guarantee you haven't heard about a lot of them. But it can be hard to choose because while I think people really want to know and hear about more OJ stuff, that ESPN documentary dropped years ago and that was a huge hit, and you think you know about a case and you learn so much more. And I think that has an important place in the true crime spectrum, but I don't think that that should be the only thing. Excuse me, I don't think that should be the only thing that we're covering. And it can be hard to kind of determine what we want to cover. Sometimes I do like closed-ended cases because it gives the audience a sense of relief that we know how everything ends. But a lot of cases leave us with more questions than answers, and those have a place in discussion. And I think it actually rallies the troops in a lot of ways to maybe try and solve them together.
Absolutely. And what is your future goal in terms of the podcast or your true crime career? What exactly do you want to do in the future to bring awareness to more of these cases?
That's a great, great question. Obviously, I would love to do as many seasons of Betrayal as ID and Discovery would allow for me to do. I love doing it. It's a true labor of love and a passion of mine. I would love for more people to start submitting stories of their own betrayal, of their own stories, so we can actually raise those voices up who really want to get heard. I used to go to Crime Con, second four crime cons, and the thing about there was like 3,000, mostly women who were there. True crime happens to be a female-led genre, and a lot of families would come up to me and give me their own information on a family member or a friend or a loved one or someone in their neighborhood that just no one really knew about, and they were collecting evidence kind of on their own. And I can only imagine how suffocating it must feel to feel like you can't be heard. And so I would really like to kind of put the power in a lot of the victims' hands and kind of give them my platform to tell their own stories, to maybe see if we can help either bring light to these cases for the police departments to kind of come back in, any cold cases that were done, or rally the troops in a lot of ways that we did with Gabby Petito and see if there's things that we're overlooking, things that we're missing, evidence that is kind of left on the table that we just haven't had the time or the resources to really fulfill. I would love to turn that into a TV show where people can kind of have that platform to say the things that they need to say about the cases that they feel the most important about.
I would love to help you with that if ever that ever comes to fruition. I'm passionate about that kind of stuff. So.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. Well, keep my number handy, okay? Keep my number handy. I might be calling for that.
Go for it. And would you have considered maybe working with John Walsh and his son, you know, working on that? Because they are like the kings of true crime and trying to get criminals to justice.
I mean, I grew up on John Walsh. You know, I watched America's Most Wanted. I knew about his story of obviously his son, you know, getting abducted. And I got to work with him and his other son on our Gabby Petito special for ID. I did an Instagram live with his son, which was incredible. I mean, getting to be in the room with those guys who have been devoted their entire life to this is truly a humbling experience, and I could learn a lot from them. I think that they would bring a sense of cachet and also a really good name to things like this. And, you know, John has spent his entire life really trying to solve these cases that have gone overlooked. So I would love that opportunity.
Absolutely. I think that would be incredible having the three of you work together because we need more people like you guys.
I couldn't agree more. There's armchair detectives, right? I mean, there's people behind their computers, you know, trying to solve where, what route, how long did it take, you know, what tree on the road was here. And that is all very, very helpful. But it's never going to pass in the court of law unless we have real detectives on these cases. And with someone like John Walsh, you know, I mean, he definitely brings a certain name and a certain attention that I think can go along with solving some of these cases.
Exactly. And I know this conversation has gotten a bit heavy, so I want to switch gears and tell me a fun fact about yourself.
A fun fact about myself. I was an extra. I didn't have any lines, but in high school, I was an extra in Law & Order SVU.
Nice. How'd that happen?
I was playing the trumpet. They came to my high school, and they needed, you know, I'm 16 at the time, and they paid extras, I think, like $100, which, not seizing on that even at 33, but certainly at 16, $100 was like, wow. And, you know, you had to give up, I think, a Saturday. And so it was no problem for me. And they were in, I used to play the trumpet. I used to be in band. And they needed, like, a music class. So they asked me to kind of sit in the back. I sat next to the protagonist, the main guy in the episode, playing the trumpet. And sometimes I see that episode on, and it makes me laugh every single time.
Oh, that's amazing. I got to look for that episode now.
Yeah, it's called Head. It's called Head.
Okay, I will definitely take a look at it. And speaking of TV, what are you watching these days?
Oh, boy. How much time do you have? Because, you know, I'm in the reality world. You know, true crime's kind of the realest reality that I could possibly have. But I watch almost every single true crime doc that comes out, along with a lot of reality shows. I mean, The Bachelorette, The Bachelor, Dancing with the Stars, huge Succession fan. I'm watching Big Mouth. I watch all of The Housewives. I'm watching The Challenge on MTV. I watch The Morning Show, Insecure. I have a huge repertoire of television. It's my hobby and my passion.
Nice. And if you were a housewife, what would your tagline be?
Oh, what would my tagline be? It would definitely be something like something to do with Andy. I haven't really thought about it because I could never see myself as a housewife. I always see myself as like the friend of or the fun like niece. I've never seen myself as a housewife. I got to think about it because this is a lot of pressure. I mean, I really have, it would be something with Andy Cohen, you know, like he might run the housewives, but I run his house or something like that.
Oh, I like that. That's cute.
Some play on words, you know?
Yeah. He's one person on my bucket list I would love to meet. He's amazing.
He's honestly as nice as you think that he is.
Oh, that's good to know. Good to know. And where can we follow you on social media so we can continue to follow your incredible career?
Please do. You can follow me at Carpe Darren. That's CarpeDaryn. It's just my name backwards. My middle name is Elizabeth, so it's just my name backwards, but it's a play on words for Carpe Diem, of course.
Oh, that is so adorable. I like that. I like creative names like that.
Thank you.
Yes, it was, Aaron. It was a pleasure to speak to you. I appreciate you, and good luck with everything.
Thank you so much, Sammy. It was a pleasure speaking to you, and I hope to get to do it again soon. I really appreciate your time.
Likewise. Keep in touch.
Thank you,
Thanks
absolutely.
to both of you. Have a great evening.
Thanks,
you
Sammy.
too.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.